All right, back to our regularly scheduled programming. tonight, I'm going to be preaching on something that the Lord's really been dealing with me and laying on my heart. And whenever I think about this, I tear up. Tonight, I'm hoping this will not be what some folks consider to be an angry sermon. I want it to be a happy one, a positive one. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. And there you're going to find a very familiar parable, the parable of the prodigal son. And it's a rather lengthy passage, but I want to focus on one verse. That'd be verse 18. And prior to verse 18, we see that the prodigal, he took off. He took his inheritance, if you will, and he wasted it. And he wasted it on anything and everything that his heart desired. When he ran out of money, he ran out of friends. And he ended up in the pigsty. And he ended up eating husks that were supposed to go to the pigs. And in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" In verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house, and we're thankful, Lord, for the time that we have to be around your word. And Father, we just want to pray and ask that, Lord, you'd bless the word to our hearts, that you'd open our hearts, open our minds, open our souls and spirits to receive your word, and that each and every one of us, your word would speak to our hearts and meet our individual needs as the message is preached. And Father, we pray that after the message, that it would make a difference, and we would see this world differently, and we would see things differently, Lord. And Father, I do thank you for healing our pastor. I thank you for being with him, to be with his family, to give him peace and comfort, to know that he is in the hands of the great physician. Continue to heal him up, encourage him, and strengthen him, and help him, Lord, to be back in this pulpit where you've called him to be the under-shepherd of this church, according to your timing and according to your goodwill and pleasure. Bless the word, we pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the sermon is called Going Home. Going Home. The prodigal came to himself and he said, "I'm going home. I've had enough of this. I'm going home." The backslidden Christian, that's the prodigal. They backslide, they go into the world, and they get their fill, and they get to the point where they've had enough, and I'm going back to the Father. For those that are lost and don't know Christ, they come home to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, and salvation. Going home, going home. The Father's house. Turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 1. And we're going to go from verse 1 to verse 3. In John 14, verse 1, this is Jesus Christ speaking. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. in the Father's house. That is a precious promise. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, telling his disciples, I'm preparing a place for you. When it is done and it is finished, the Father will send me back to bring you home to be with him in the Father's house forever. That means no ending. Eternity. Something our finite minds cannot handle and can't grasp. Forever in the Father's house. And we as Christians do desire that city and that house which we call home. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to pick it up at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God is building the city. He's building your house for you. He wants and desires you to be with him, to dwell in his house and in his city forever. That's what God desires. That's what he wants for each and every one of us, to dwell in his house. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. All of these, or these all, died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Look at 11 through verse 14 through 16. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Given the choice of life on earth or eternity with God, eternity with God. We're just passing through this life. We're just passing through earth. We're passing through. And as we're passing through, we have a job to do. We're to occupy till he comes and gets us home. We are to occupy. We're to witness. We're to shine as lights. We're to be effective for him. To glorify, honor, and lift up Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world through witness, through testimony, and through life. We're a peculiar people, church. We need to be strange. We need to be different. We need to be a light to a lost and dying world that is spiraling toward an inevitable end, where the lost will be judged. And, Christian, you'll be judged too on what you did for him and how you lived for him. Turn with me to Mark 13. Pick it up at verse 32. When will we go home? That's the trillion-dollar question. When will we be going home? How many people remember 88 reasons that Jesus Christ is going to return in 1988? That book was a bestseller. People were buying it, and it was flying off the shelves. What year is it? 2025. What happened in 1988? It came and went. The church is still here. I dare say there were a lot of disappointed people. A lot of them. The cults have been predicting Jesus Christ's return over and over and over again. One of the most famous examples, or infamous examples, is Jehovah's Witness, also known as the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. They predicted over and over and over and over again that Jesus Christ is coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. That's true. Jesus Christ is coming back. But you're not going to set a date for it. The Lord's coming back. The last time the Watchtower predicted Jesus Christ coming back was 1972. And after that, they just threw up their hands and said, we give up. And then shortly after that, they came back on the scene and said, yeah, he came back, but it came back in a spiritual form.
Right.
Nice try, guys. Nice try. Because in Mark 13, verse 32, here's Jesus Christ speaking. But of that day and in that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. He's coming back. Get busy. Be fruitful. Watch. Pray. The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming back. He promised he's coming back. And has God ever broke a promise? No, never. Not a zip, zilch. Not one time. God's never broken a promise. Never, ever, ever. And he never will. He never will. Now the return, it will be sudden and without warning. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter writes, picking up at verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. People all the time, you talk to them, you witness to them, say, Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, right. You know, I've heard that since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Yeah, right, sure. Mm, whatever. You know, and they blow you off. They blow you off. Nothing's changed. They were doing it in the Apostle Peter's time frame. People will always blow it off. They'll always dismiss it. They'll always think, you know, so-and-so over there, that Christian, he's a little bit loose up here, if you know what I mean. You know, I would rather be loose up here for the Lord than solid and tight and not saved. I'd rather be a little bit loose up here knowing that my Savior is coming back to get me and take me home to be with him, than to be tight with the world and waste my life and end up in a burning hell. Yeah. I would rather be loose and know he's coming back. And it could be any time. When he does come back, it will be with a shout never heard before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you know anything about Thessalonians, the 2 Thessalonians, Church of Thessalonica was really getting hammered. They were under tremendous persecution. And they had people telling them, you're in the tribulation. You're in the tribulation. This is the tribulation. This is the tribulation. No, they're just suffering persecution. Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Brethren, he's writing to Christians. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul's giving comfort to this church. He's telling them, this is not the tribulation. You're just suffering for the Lord. Rise, shine, stand forth, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in your testimony. This suffering you're going through, this persecution you're going through, is very, very small considered eternity with God. You're suffering now, but soon you'll be in glory with your Lord and Savior. And, double bonus, you'll also be there with loved ones who have gone before you. How many people in this auditorium now have loved ones that are in heaven right now? I can't wait to see them. First and foremost, I can't wait to see my Lord. But I start tearing up when I think about my dad, my brother, and hopefully my mom, and other family members who I do not know, but I will probably be surprised that they're there. I can't wait. Fanny Crosby, born blind, I believe. The first face she's going to see is Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Fanny Crosby, who wrote multitudes of biblical gospel hymns, glorifying God, honoring the Savior, witnessing for him, can't see. With her glorified body, she'll see her Lord, the first person she'll see. I can only imagine what that's going to be like. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Not only will there be a shout that has never heard before, but it'll also be in the twinkling of an eye. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to pick it up at verse 50. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth about the mystery, but also the victory. Now this I say, brethren, again, talking to Christians, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Look at this, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Your body is going to change. No more aches, no more pains, no more sickness. You'll be complete and whole. A glorified body. Yeah, like Jesus Christ, a glorified body. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't give up. Christian, don't give up. Stay on the firing line. Do what you can. Witness. Pray. Pass out gospel tracts. Shine your light in the darkness. It's not in vain. It's not in vain, and never will be in vain, because you're doing it for your Lord and Savior, lifting him up to a lost and dying world, and honoring and glorifying him through service in your life. We are delivered from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience in hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in as much assurance as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, for your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. That passage right there is showing you that the church of Thessalonica, even though they were persecuted, even though they were suffering tremendously for the cause of Jesus Christ, it did not stop their witness, it did not stop their testimony, it did not stop them from serving their Lord. They looked forward to the Lord's return. They looked forward to the blessing that the Lord was going to give for their faithful service. They looked forward to it, and they loved the Lord enough, and their witness and testimony in the region was good enough and big enough and bright enough to where no explanation needed. Thessalonica? Yeah. Well, that church there? Yeah. Well, we know of them. Cities around Thessalonica? They knew that church was there. They knew the Thessalonians. They knew the church. The church had a good testimony. This church should have the same testimony no matter what happens to it. No matter how persecuted we are, no matter how beaten up we are, no matter how much the world hammers this church should have a crystal clear, bright light testimony, not only to Ridgefield, not only to Clark County, not only Washington State, not only the United States, but throughout the world. Through our missionaries, through our local outreach in the city, through our outreach to the region, through outreach to the country, this church should have a testimony that we are a witnessing, soul-winning, active church. And we're not a mausoleum. We're active. We need to be active. We need to be active in this church, and we need to be active outside the church, wherever you go. At work, at home, at the store, wherever you're at, you need to be active. You need to be vibrant. You need to be a light. You need to be a light. You need to be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Individual lights, good. But when the individual lights come together, it's brighter. No divisions in this church. I can't emphasize that enough. I've been in a church that has been divided. It's not a happy time. Individual lights together, working together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unity of plan, unity of purpose, and unity in practice. This is what this church should be. A gospel light. When the Lord does come back, and he will, and he does take us home, we will be finally home. We will be home, and everything that has happened in the past will be gone, and we'll step out into eternity. Revelation chapter 21. And we are going to be reading the entire chapter. So you get your chapter in for the day. Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I can't wait. I cannot wait for that. You know, when you're born and you're growing up, I'm going to get a little personal. When you're born and you're growing up, you're full of life. You're just going to grab the world by the tail and you're just going to go for it. And then as you get older, things start to change. And then as you get more older, things really start to change. And then you get to the point where you've seen it all, you've seen enough, you don't want it anymore, you're tired of it, you just don't want to do it anymore. But as a Christian, something better is coming. Don't lose your focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The same Lord Jesus Christ who promised in John 14, he will be coming back. It will soon be over, Christian. You won't have to be tired of it anymore. You won't have to deal with it anymore. You won't have to put up with it anymore. He will take you home to be with him in the Father's house forever. You'll be home. Never be separated. Never be separated from God, his Son, loved ones, for all eternity. Home. Home. For all eternity, you'll be home. For all eternity. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Amen. All things new. All things. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You bet your sweet flock they are. They are true and they are faithful. This book is inerrant, infallible, and perfectly preserved for us. This book's never lied to you. It never will lie to you. It is the only truth, pure truth, this side of heaven, in this life, this book here. If God said it, that doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It settles it. Period. End of story. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall depart in the lake of fire, which burneth for fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Reading verse 8, it should get right there in your heart. Verse 8, your co-workers, your friends, your family, acquaintances. Without Jesus Christ, that's where they will be. There's no second chance. That's where they're going to be. Which is imperative that, again, I'm gonna hammer this home. Witness, 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 witness. Tracks, your mouth. your lifestyle, example to the lost and dying world. Win them. Lift up Jesus Christ. Win them. If not, that's where they're going to be. I have a sister, I have a brother, and I have a niece who are Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't talk to me. For good reason they don't talk to me. Because it convicts them. Not because it's me. It convicts them. Where their training stops, this Blackjack 66 keeps going. And because of that, they've shut off all contact with me. I pray for them. I pray that God will reach them somehow, some way, before it's too late. But the very thought of them being there breaks my heart. It absolutely crushes me. Because you ever been so right that you're wrong? That's them. But they're not right. They never will be right. They're wrong. The only way they will be right is by accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Then they'll start getting right. Then they will. But until then, they breathe their last. They'll go off into eternity to a place they don't believe in. Forever. Forever and ever. 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, or had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length of the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedon, and the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophorus, and the 11th jathine, the 12th an amethyst. And if I butchered those names, I'm sorry. The 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. and there shall be, and then shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That is going to be one awesome city. That's going to be just something to see. All of the material is built, that the city's built of, is built with material, the jewels, the stones, the gold. It's everything that man gathers to himself on this earth. And God looks at me and goes, yeah, I can build with that. I can build with the stone, the precious stones. I can build with that. The gold, yeah, I can build with the gold. Gold's so pure, it's clear. Pearls as doors. God considers all that building material. Whereas man on this earth, it's like, that's wealth. I want that. God's like, oh, that's building material. That's building material. It's I don't know. It's just me thinking, you know. I just see things and it's like, yeah, you know, God just views that, what man views as precious, as just building material that he can use for his honor and glory. Building material and building a city, and what a city this will be. That will be something to see. Revelation 22. Verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's going to be something to see. That is home. That is home, Christian. That is your home forever, with no end. And it can be the home forever of people that you witness to, people that you give tracts to, people that see your life, see your example, and ask questions. Why are you doing that? Why are you praying over your food? I haven't heard you say a foul word all since I've been working here. What's going on? That's a door. Your door just got open. I'm a Christian. That's a witness. You witness to them by opening the door. Once the door's open, enter in. Witness. Not in your own power and might, but through the power of Christ. Witness to them. Win them. If they receive Christ and they're saved, they will be dwelling in this city with you forever. They, as well as you, will finally be home. It can happen at any given moment. The Father can look at Jesus and say, go bring my kids home. Go bring them home. And what a day that's going to be when he does bring us home. Until then, occupy till I come. Occupy. If you know anything about history, especially military history, an occupying force is not well liked. The Lord came, presented himself to Israel as their Messiah and their king. They rejected him. He went through a kangaroo court. He went to Pilate. Pilate presented him to Israel. He said, "What shall I do with your king?" Their response was, "We have no king but Caesar." "I'm going to crucify him then?" Their response, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." If they did that to the Lord, look at what they're doing to his church. They're doing it subtly, and more, they're doing it deliberately and out in the open. I've seen the videos of Christians being assaulted, bloody, stabbed in this country. It's coming, church. It's coming. Until then, occupy. Until then, witness. Live the life that God gave you for him, to honor and glorify him. Because sooner or later, he will take us home, and we will be home, finally home. Brother Mike Perry, dismiss us in prayer, please.